Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
The question that we ask today is, what are you seeking today to fulfill what only God can fulfill? Because when Christ is first, you will seek Him first. Every time. You will seek Him for the answers that you're looking for. You'll seek Him for the troubles you're going through. You will seek Him first. And if you seek Him first, guess what leads? Worry, anxiety, and unbelief.
Living on Every Word.
Living on Every Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're talking about the whole thought of Jesus Christ being first in your life, in my life. And if He's not first, something else is. And if something else is, then we have a problem with idolatry. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at this series called When Christ is First in Your Life. And each time, we're going to be looking at some passages of Scripture about idolatry and how we cast our idols down and how we bow to His Lordship and make Him first in our lives, where He becomes the centerpiece in our lives. I want you to look at the screen, Colossians 1:18. The Scripture says that He is also head of the body, the church. And He is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. Head of the body. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, in order that He might have first place in everything. First place in my life. First place in my marriage. First place in my family. First place at my job. Or first place in my finances. Or anything else in this world. And the question we're asking is Christ first in your life? Is Jesus Christ first in your life today? You know, I've thought about something and I've become convinced that a day without Christ first in your life is a wasted day. String days like that together and you'll wake up one day and you'll realize you've wasted your life. A day without Christ first is a wasted day. String them all together and you'll wake up and you'll realize that you've wasted your life. Christ first. When He's not first in your life is nothing but vanity. Your marriage suffers. That's the reason why marriages fail. Your finances become a wreck. You're unable to say no to sin, to strongholds, to worry, to fear. And you know what you do when Christ is not first? You teach your children to live life for something else other than God. And that's the heritage you leave. That's the legacy you leave when Christ is not first in your life. God made it very clear in this passage in Exodus, chapter 20, verse 2, in the beginning of the Ten Commandments. Verse 2 says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth, beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them, nor shall you serve them. Watch this. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. It's me first, He says. And matter of fact, I'm to be the one and only in your life. No other gods before me. I'm jealous. I think you hear that word jealous, you think that's the kind of a negative thing. Then you know what? He's jealous for your good. Because He knows that when you chase after something else, your life becomes miserable. He's jealous for you. He doesn't want you to commit spiritual adultery. And to chase after another god or something else that you think is more important than God is nothing but spiritual infidelity. It's a spiritual adultery. And you may be faithful to your spouse from here to kingdom come, but the question is, are you faithful to your God? Will we be faithful to Him in all that we do? You shall have no other gods. You shall make for yourself no idol. I am a jealous God. I visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But I show loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. He's talking about legacy here. He's talking about heritage. And when he says you have me first, you leave a great legacy because I show loving kindness to thousands. Sometimes we wonder why our kids are a wreck or our grandchildren are a wreck. Well, what kind of heritage have we left them? And what kind of heritage will we leave them? Will we be a people who do not chase after the things of this world, but we chase after God and Him alone? Because every one of us have seen the propensities of our family line. Whether it's divorce, whether it's anger, whether it's addictions, any of these things, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, but yet showing loving kindness to thousands. You know my story. You know, a fear of dying young. Father had it. Grandfather had it. You know, generational. And you know, the thing is that what I would say to you is that you and I have a great opportunity today to sow to the Spirit of God and see generational righteousness flow from our children. For the sake of God's name, but the sake of your lives and the sake of your children. And my prayer is that we would truly be a people that set aside the idols that we're running after and seek Him and Him alone. What that means is that you're saying yes to Him and no to the world. Yes to Him and no to the sin, to the stronghold. Yes to Him that says, God, whatever you want to do in my life, wherever you want to send me, and whatever you want me to be, I will do that. The question is, what will you sow today? What will you make new in your life today? To bow to Him and to Him alone. No other gods. Now, last week we saw that idolatry was seeking, trusting in something or someone other than God to fulfill what only God can fulfill. And when you think about seeking a relationship, for instance, where relationship becomes the most important thing. And when a relationship becomes more important than anything else, I want to tell you that relationship will have failure all over it. You bow to the relationship, and you'll do things that violate the Word of God, because that relationship is more important to you than God Himself. And the enemy will give you a feeling, make you feel like it's all good, when it's all bad. When you think about money, and if that's the idol of your life, you'll do all sorts of things to get it. You'll embezzle, you'll cheat, you'll fudge. You'll do all those things. You'll rob God by not giving what God's called you to give to Him. When money is your idol, you'll steal, and you'll do it, and you'll do it secretly when money is your idol. When your job or your career is, you'll do anything you can to bow down to it and make your career the number one thing. And that's why you'll have dissension, or why you'll talk about somebody else in your job. Or you'll make sure they don't get the credit for something that they did. Because your career is more important than God. When you look at the idols of this world, and it can be anything. It can be anything. It can be something good. It can be something grand. It can be something that God has given to you as a gift. Because God gives us all things to enjoy, not to worship. To enjoy them, not to worship. That's why we can talk about money, we can talk about relationships, and we can talk about job and career. We can talk about the things that God has blessed us with, and there's nothing wrong with those things if they become the centerpiece of your life. What's the centerpiece of your life? And when you look at it and you realize that it's not God, then you can understand why your life has been a mess. The question that we ask today is, what are you seeking today to fulfill what only God can fulfill? Because when Christ is first, you will seek Him first. Every time. You will seek Him for the answers that you're looking for. You'll seek Him for the troubles you're going through. You will seek Him first. The Scripture speaks of this in Matthew chapter 6. I'd like for you to turn there. Matthew chapter 6. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture where you find some things that people put before God. And He makes the point in verse 19. Jesus is speaking. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. In other words, make an investment in the things that are eternal. Some of you in here have a great gift. You have great gifts. You have the gift of giving. Some of you have the gift of making money, being prosperous. Doesn't God say, give that up? Just make Christ first. Make sure He's first in your life. Store up for yourselves treasures not on earth but in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in or steal. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's what you're always thinking about. How do I guard it? How do I make more? How do I make sure nobody gets it? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And where's your heart? Because where your heart is, you'll know where your treasure is. Notice he goes on and he says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other. He will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon. You can't serve God in wealth. You can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in stuff. You serve Him alone. Him alone. There's only room for one Lord in your life. And that's our great God. Notice what else he says. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or to what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Are you worth more than birds to God? You are. Now, I know there's some people in this world who think birds are more important than babies. Save an eagle baby, but abort a human baby. My Bible says that you are more important than all other creation. And if you're worried about this, if you're worried, can you add one single hour to your life? Verse 28, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Will He not much more take care of you? Amen. Worried today? Worried about stuff, worried about things, calls you a man of little faith. Do we trust God more than we trust the stuff of this world? And I just got to say this. By the way that we behave, I think it looks like we believe in our stuff more than we believe our God. Well, that's what he's saying here. You're trusting stuff to fulfill what only God can fulfill. And it makes you people, it makes us people of little faith when we worry and we're anxious about the stuff of this world. The question today is, what are you seeking? What are you seeking for life to fill you? Notice what he says. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? The Gentiles, the world eagerly seeks these things. But your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But if you'll seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. Is Christ first in your life? If Christ is first in your life, you'll seek Him first. And if you seek Him first, guess what leaves? Worry, anxiety, and unbelief. And I got to ask you, would you rather spend your time worrying and being anxious and walking in unbelief, or putting your eyes on Jesus and watching the worry disappear? Watching it melt because of the confidence that we have in our Heavenly Father who knows we need these things. You know, when I seek Him first, the Scripture says that you're seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. I look on the screen. Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. What do we spend most of our time thinking about? Where are we going to go to lunch today? What's for supper tonight? What about the snack? Kingdom of God's not eating and drinking. It's not temporal. It's not the things that you can see with your eyes, the physical things. But the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is. So it's interesting, when I seek first the kingdom, what do I get? I get righteousness and I get joy and I get peace in the Holy Spirit. The very thing that I was looking for when I was investing in the stuff. Investing in the money, investing in the things of this world, because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for righteousness, and I'm looking for holiness, and I'm looking for joy, and I'm looking for peace. And yet I see peace and I see joy. And I see that it is the two most elusive fruits. No joy and no peace. Why? Because you're seeking something else first before God. Let's just be honest. If there's no joy and there's no peace, it's because Christ in that moment is not Lord of my life. You can have joy today. You can have peace today. And you can have the righteousness of God if you'll seek Him first. Yeah. Tear down your idol and seek Him first. What are you seeking today? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's the very thing that we're always looking for. And God says, hey, here I am. Here I am. Proverbs says it this way, wisdom shouts in the streets. The right way to live shouts in the streets. In other words, God says, here I am. If you walk this way, if you look to me first, you will have everything that you've always been looking for and searching for, because I will fill the void that nothing else can fill. But seek me first. And when you seek Christ first, you know what happens? Look on the screen. All the things we were seeking for first, they're added to us. But you know what? Even if they're not, I realize that those things no longer have a hold over me. And if God wants to give it, fine. And if He doesn't, it's okay. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because He is enough. Scripture says when you seek Him first, you find Him. You get Him and He is enough. Go to Jeremiah 29 if you would. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse 10. Jeremiah is speaking to a group of people, the Israelites who are going into exile. They're going for 70 years. Thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Verse 11, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. That's what God promises. God promises plans for welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. That's His plan for you. And then you'll call upon me and you'll come and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. How can you be seeking God with all your heart when all you have is a 10-minute devotion in the morning, and close your Bible and your Word, and you go your way and don't think about it again? How is that seeking God with all your heart? When God is just a thought through the day, when I'm in trouble, just think about what you think about what gets on your mind. And you mull over in your mind, over and over and over and over again. Is it your future? Is it your job? Is it the uncertainty of your job? The uncertainty of your finances? The things that are in your mind and you mull over and over and over and you think about it and you think about it and you think about it. And it gives you ulcers. Are you seeking Christ first? No, you're seeking that first. And you're seeking those things with all your heart. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. The Word says that when you seek Him with all your heart, He's going to let you find Him. And you do this with all your heart, and I'll be found by you, and I'll restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I'll bring you back to this place from where I sent you into exile. What place is that? Don't think about it in physical terms. Think about the place of rest, of joy and peace and righteousness, because that's the kingdom of God. And you don't have to wait till you die to find it. You find it today. When you seek Him first, you find Him. And matter of fact, not only that, but you begin to look like Him. Go to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, if you've been raised up, verse 1, with Christ. In other words, if you're a believer, and you've been baptized into Him, and you've been raised to walk in newness of life with Him, then keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Keep thinking these things above. Keep your mind, set your mind, verse 2, on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Because you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to what? To idolatry. I look at my life and I consider my earthly body as dead to immorality, that's sexual sin, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. All these things amount to idolatry. And it's because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. It's because of these things that you have found your life a wreck today. Consider yourself dead to them. You keep your eyes on Him. And notice what He says. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. And I want to ask you, does that describe you? That you once lived in them? Or are you still living in them? Or are you still being polluted by the world? But now you also put them all aside. Watch this. Anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices. And you put on the new self who's being renewed to a true knowledge. Watch. According to the image of the one who created him. A new self. A new life that's becoming more and more like Christ. That is now, you're being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of Christ. Seeking first, you become like Him. You remember what we saw last week about the idols? Those who trust in them become like them. Those who make them and those who trust them become like the idol. You become like greed. You become like anger. You become like malice. You become like immorality. But what it says, when you seek Him first, you become like Him. That's why your mind is so important here. That it must be transformed under His hand. You know, there's a number of other benefits. One more that I'll mention today is you're delivered from all your fears. Look at the screen. Psalm 34, 4 through 6. I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me from all my fears. But why is that? What is fear? Fear is a presumption of loss. You presume that you're going to lose something, so you walk in fear. It may be your life, it may be your health, it may be your stuff. But guess what? Your eyes are no longer on yourself. It's no longer on your health. It's on the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, there's no more presumption of loss because you have Him. And if you have Him and He satisfies you, then none of these things matter anymore. So there goes my fears. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I lose my health. Doesn't matter if I lose myself. I got Him. I've got Him. He says, I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me from all my fears. Now watch. They looked to Him and were radiant and their faces shall never ever be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Notice what seeking the Lord does. He answers you and delivers you from your fears. You start looking to Him. You become radiant and your faces are never ashamed. You cry out. He hears you and saves you out of all your troubles. Seeking Him first. Becoming like Him. What are you seeking first of this life? What are you seeking? And if you're seeking something else, how do I seek the Lord? How do I seek Him? I found a verse of Scripture in Daniel chapter 9, verse 13. It's on the screen, okay? I want you to look at that and look at these two principles, and we'll close with this. Notice what it says. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us. Have you had calamity in your life? I think most of the time it came because He wasn't first. Not every time, but most of the time. And He says, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God. Now look, notice how you do it. By turning from our iniquity and giving attention to Thy truth. You turn from your iniquity, your sin, and that means you repent. And then you become attentive to His Word, which simply means you begin obeying the principles of God's Word. I want to ask you, how attentive have you been to the Word of God? Or how attentive have you been to something else? I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? What is the first thing in your life? What is the first place? What are you seeking first. Marriage on the rocks, seek Christ first. Finances are a wreck, seek Christ first. Relationships are a mess, seek Christ first. Unhappy, depressed, worried, anxious, seek Christ first. I just believe that as believers, as God's children, we cannot prosper unless He's first. I think that's the principle. What have you been seeking? What have you been running to fulfill what only God can fulfill? Can I ask you a question? How can a person seek Christ and all he does is spend 5 minutes in the Word a day? How can that be? How can that be? How can you live on? You're called to live on the Word of God, and all His Word means to you is a 5 minute snack that's done on the run. I know we're busy. And I'm not just talking about opening your Bible in the morning and reading it. I'm talking about keeping that open in your heart all day long. Thinking of Him first. What's been first in your life? Will you lay down the idol, turn from the iniquity, and give attention to His truth, His Word? What did Jesus say the truth was? Him! He's the truth. He's the life. So I give my attention to Him and let everything else flow out of that. Everything else. Let me ask you, how important is Christ to you? Is He first? If He's first, then I want to tell you, if you're living in some kind of junk or some kind of sin, if He's first in your life, you'll go home today and you'll start getting your life in order. You'll get rid of the anger, you'll get rid of the lust, you'll get rid of the greed, you'll make things right with people that you've hurt. What's first? Seek Him first, and all these things will be added unto you. As we seek first Your kingdom, Your righteousness. God, I pray that everything that we do this week would have the plumb line of this word. Am I seeking You first, Lord? What does it look like? And then, Father, if there's something else in my life that comes before You, may we repent of it and seek You with everything that we are, so that we might sow to the Spirit and see generational righteousness come forth from our lives. And to see a day not wasted, and days strung together for a life that's not wasted, but that's full of life, full of meaning, and full of spiritual investment. Oh God, may we get this today. May we tear down our idols. May we repent. And may we seek You with everything that we are. Oh God, I thank You for the power that You've come to give to us to accomplish this word. So we call upon You for this power. We call upon You for this grace. We call upon You for this ability, because we cannot do it on our own. We cannot. God, we seek You first today. And I pray, Father, that we would see the benefits of the kingdom added unto us. We love You and we bless You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man does.